joy to be here in this large cavernous auditorium, empty except for a few of the workers here that are running the service. And I appreciate so much the people online, and just to introduce our theme tonight from Jeremiah chapter 2. We have two portions. Jeremiah chapter 2 is the first part. Before we start, just to worship God in the Spirit and in faith, and the anointing of God is our teacher, the Spirit. He is our teacher. We've had a long period of time here where the Spirit of God has taught us in our congregation with many people present on a Wednesday night. And He has also taught us the value of body life. We just had a series on the house of God and coming into the house of God. And now because of this pandemic and the leaders of our society, we are honoring their advices and directives and realize that there are people that are in self-quarantine. My daughter and granddaughter are two of them. Pastor Gary Grunwald traveled to Europe. All those that traveled to Europe, the men's dorm from the Bible College that are in self-quarantine, they are listening, I'm sure. Then the children that are home from school, and then the people that are out of work. And then we think of the medical people that are in the hospitals. I was with my daughter Amy last night, who is a nurse, and saying to her that we are praying for the medical people that are working hard during this time. We also think of elderly people and people that are vulnerable with a weakened immune system or pre-existing conditions. So we realize that in a way, we use this time for God to speak to us. And I feel that very personally in my heart. I have certain things to share tonight in the message. And then maybe right after the message, we'll do a wrap session here and with a few pastors. And we'll talk about what is on our hearts for a few minutes. So in the beginning, I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. And I always, in reading the book Jeremiah, think of the United States of America. Because I see in Jeremiah's words something very relevant and appropriate for the United States. I spoke with Pastor Chris Moore today, and I asked him to send to me some of the things that he shared in his message and recently, and I want to read to you. Many of the American idols, I don't mean the TV program, but the idolatry in gods of Western culture that we worship, the gods of entertainment and distractions, sports, movie, industry, outdoors, social activities are canceled. Gods of health and wellness, the medical field is stumped. The gods of wealth and money, the stock market crashed Friday. The gods of religion, major world religions have closed their doors for worship. I think that is thought-provoking, that in our world, God has, in a way, called a time-out. When we were in school, grade school, sometimes we had a strict teacher, and she would say, time out, as send somebody to the corner of the room and think about just calming down and getting a grip and being quiet and thinking about, did I do something wrong in the class, or am I misbehaving? So we could say, in a way, God has made it so that the United States, and it is remarkable that we have changed, like shut down, made certain decisions on a certain level, and our lifestyle has changed. I think this is a good thing. And in Jeremiah's book here in chapter 2, he says in verse 4, hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Good question from God. What have you found with me that is so empty and so vain? Lord, do you mean you are satisfying? Do you mean you are real? Do you mean you speak to us? Do you mean that you show up? Do you mean that you can change my life? Do you mean that you can satisfy my longing soul? Do you mean that you could raise the dead and cast out demons? Who are you, God? And he said, you are considering me to be nothing. Why do you consider me to be nothing? But you have sought after, go to verse 6. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through the land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passes through and where no man dwelt? You haven't said, where is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Where's the God of Charles Spurgeon and Martin Luther? Where's the God of Augustine and Chrysostom? Where's the God of the missionaries that shook nations and led tribal people to Christ? Where is the God that showed up at Lazarus' tomb and said, come forth? You have not said that. Where is the God that started our country, the United States of America, that sent religiously persecuted people to these colonies and started a whole new life with a godly orientation? Where is the living God of Charles Finney and George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards? You have not said that. When I lived in Europe, I was amazed how little the people understood and knew about the British evangelists and the British missionaries. I was amazed in their own countries how little they knew about their own men of God, the men of God in Finland, the men of God in Norway, the men of God in Sweden, the men of God in Germany, the men of God in Hungary, the men of God that changed the world, that preached the gospel. We don't do that. He is unknown. He is not spoken about. We have not found him, have not discovered him. So go to the next. It says here, verse 7, I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? The priests did not say. They could not say. They did not say. They didn't even come to the mind. Where is God? Where is God? Pastor Steve mentioned in Sunday, 1848, was it Zachary Taylor? There was an 1849. There was some pestilence in the country, and he called for national prayer. A president said, where is God? The priests did not say, where is God? Wow. The churches should be saying, where is God? Where is God in your life? Where is God in your decision making? Where is God in your family? Where is God in your heart? We'll cover that in a few minutes. Now go to the next, please. It says, the pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. They went after things that do not profit. I have done that. You have done that. We are shoppers in our country. We are consumers. I'm not picking on women, but I know that it might be something that we do as habit. I go to Walmart or somewhere store, and that's fine. It's none of my business, and I'm just trying to make a point here. When it's time out and I can't go to the store, and it's time out and I can't go to the restaurant, and it's time out and I can't go to the church, and it's time out and I can't do the things that I normally do, then we need to say in our heart, I want to know who is God. I want to know God. We'll talk about it in a minute. I need to find God in my life. Maybe in a fresh way. Maybe in a way that I haven't found him in a long time. Maybe in a way where I need my relationship with God. God is shaking. Hebrews chapter 12, 25 to 29. He will shake on earth the things that can be shaken. Wow. Okay. Go to verse 9, please. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord. Thank you, God. Are you pleading with us? I will plead with you, and your children's children will I plead. I will plead with you. I'll plead with your children. I'll plead with your grandchildren. And we say in our hearts, plead, Lord. Please, please speak. Please do something. Please change things. Please awaken us. Please draw us. Please show us your way. Show us your mind and your heart. I'm sorry for the people that have lost jobs and will struggle to pay their bills. And I understand the elderly might be in their homes and very concerned about their future. But there is something deeper that is going on in this whole picture. And it is that God has given us a time out so that we can grow deeper. There's two words that I want to share. Maybe we'll just go right to it. No, we won't. Go back to the text and we'll finish and go. Verse 10, for pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? Have we gone after no gods? Yes, we have. We go after the things that can't really satisfy. You know what it's like. Your righteous lot was vexed every day in Sodom and Gomorrah. It means he was kind of frustrated. Like it's like a shopper that goes to buy stuff and comes home and is still kind of frustrated. It's like a man who goes to work every day, but he still feels the emptiness that happens as he chases after his business or his money or his success. He still finds something's missing. Yes, something is missing. We're fascinated and have been fascinated with the college sports and the basketball and the professionalism and all of these things. We know this, but now God is saying to us, time out. And I want you to seek me. I want you to know me. I want you to find me. I want you to get real quiet before me. I want you to discover me in a personal way. Look at verse 12. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. This means all the angels in heaven take notice that human beings have found God, left God, and made gods that are no gods. And God in heaven, in a way, is like scratching his head and saying, what? You are falling after things that will not matter. You are falling after things that amount to nothing but ashes. You feed on ashes. In your hand, right hand is a lie, and you don't know it. You have been falling after things that don't matter. And in doing that, you've lost your family. You've lost your integrity. You've lost your stability. You've lost your peace. You've lost your wisdom. You've lost your friends. You've lost your meaning in life. Verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Number one, they have forsaken God. We have gone after no gods. We have forsaken the living God. I know in the body of Christ we are not doing this. This is our fellowship. We are saying, no, I have it in my heart to follow after the living God. I found Jesus. He said, out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit in John 7 and verse 37. No, we have had a Pentecost in our hearts, a Pentecost in our lives. No, we have found the body of Christ and the richness in the spiritual fellowship online as you're home now watching this service in your living room or on your phone somewhere. You're watching this service and recognizing that there is the Spirit of God that feeds the flock and teaches me my Bible and builds me up in faith and keeps my way in a wide enter through the narrow gate, but it leads to a wide field. Hosea 4:16. Pastures that are green, waters that are clean, fellowship that is true, a shepherd that leads us in and out, freedom, health, vitality, joy, peace, power, encouragement, depth, slowness. We'll go into that in a second. Wow. Okay, finishing up in a few minutes. Notice this. Number one, you have forsaken me in verse 13. And then you have forsaken me. And then hewed out cisterns. The rock in Israel is soft limestone. So they actually could take a sharp iron tool, and they could cut into the limestone rock and make a big cavernous holding tank out of the stone. And then when the rain came, Jerusalem is in high ground, so there's a cisterns there. And the rain comes and it runs into the cistern, and the cistern holds water. If there is no crack, fissure, or leak in that cavity, But God used this to say, you have hewn out a cavity that cannot hold water. It cannot hold water. You have something that you think is going to hold water, but it can't hold water. You have a life. Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's your happiness. Maybe it's your lifestyle in some way. But when it changes, there's a collapse. When life changes, there's a shaking. And now we have to say, Lord, maybe I was trusting in the wrong thing. Wow. Maybe I didn't see things exactly right. Maybe I'm deeply disappointed. I'm troubled. Maybe I've hewn out something that's a lie. Maybe I've done something here in my heart that if you shake my life a little bit, I start to say, I need help. I need help. I need the living God. I need God to visit me in the night. I need God to speak to me in my heart. You know, God, he's not shouting, but he whispers to Elijah with a still, small voice. And Elijah was deeply troubled. His world was shaken by Jezebel. Our world is shaken here in the United States in a way that our trouble could hardly be compared to the troubles that some people face in the world today. But still, we can take it to heart. And we can say, what would you have me to do? Now, so we got these two things. I'm going too fast to digest this. This is so good. You made two errors you have made. You've forsaken me, and your holding tank is cracked. Your holding tank is deficient. You made two errors. Many of us went to Bible college years ago, 1970s, and we can say with an imperfection and shaking, and many of the sisters and brothers, you know, around the world and not just in arch but through history, everybody has a world that is shaking. Matthew chapter 8, they were on the boat with Jesus and he was sleeping, and then the storm came. This is like us. The storm came and there's a shaking. Lord, we perish. We perish. And he wakes up out of his sleep and deals with it and then says to them, this is what I want to say. This is the last part of our message tonight. He says to them, I want to make that point. This is what he says to them, like he speaks to them, like God could speak to us. You got two things that I want to talk to you about. It's time out. Quiet down. Listen to me. It's time out. Hey, get a grip. Don't panic. I am on the boat. I am here. And I want to say to you, and this is it in Matthew chapter 8. Wow, it's so much fun to be here. Wow, it's so beautiful. This period of time is for me, I feel. This is for me. This is for us. This period of time, I rejoice in it. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, different kinds. James 1 and verse 2. It's good. It's good for me. I love it. I needed it. I needed this. This was good for us. Yes, what is God? Where is God? What is God saying? Where is God? How can I find God? I want to find God. Yes, there's a shaking. There's a shaking. What can we do for others? I can't high-five my neighbor. The room is empty here. I cannot talk to my neighbor. I cannot give them a holy kiss. I'm not high-fiving my brother and sister. I'm not giving handshakes out. What can we do? Every time I could give a handshake, I can have one in my heart. I have to say, I love my brother, though I cannot see him. Every time I miss somebody in my heart, I could give him a phone call and give him a word of encouragement. Couldn't we have a couple people, two or three, that could God could put in our hearts and we could make calls and care? Of course, we do that anyway. We think like that. But I want to go to the point here and finish up. It says in Matthew 8, it says, his disciples came to him and he awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? This is what I believe. I believe that God wants to say to us in this time. Number one, he wants to say to us, the things that we have learned, the things that we have learned through the years are true. We can trust in God. The things that we have learned before the trial are used now in the trial. And a pastor's great rejoicing, and a great rejoicing is that no matter what you throw at us, the believers that are walking in this personal relationship with God, no matter what comes our way, the things that we have learned, that we are rooted in and established in, are the very things. That's our mindset, our orientation. I know that it is true. We have not hewn out broken cisterns. We have found the real God with real cisterns. Let's say it this way. Jesus is saying, don't you know, disciples, that you are with the real God and the things that I have taught you are real cisterns? They hold water. Disciples, why are you afraid? The things that I have taught you are true. Why are you afraid? I am here. Why are you afraid? Don't you know that the things that I've invested in you are the very things that come out of you? Well, how do I get it? How do I get these things? And I just want to say three words. Number one is slow. It's not a common word in our world, but now things have slowed down. I drove here on the Beltway tonight. I thought it was in a suburb of Indianapolis. The Beltway was almost empty, just because Indianapolis is in my mind. I was there once, and I realized how little traffic was there when I was there, okay? The Beltway, the stores, the shops, the restaurants, slowing down. But beyond our external life, internally, slowing down, not going there and there, but slowing down. Why? I think God puts us on pause or time out, like in a basketball game, there's a time out. A football game, a time out. And in our lives, maybe a good long time out. Slow down, because I am here. Yeah, but Lord, I got to get this done. Well, unless I build the house, you labor in vain. In Psalm 128, God, you build the house. You build the house. You have built the house. You are building the house. You're the God of the house. What are you doing? What is your will? And he could say to us, I want you to slow down. And number two, I want you to go deep. I want you to ask me who I am. I want you to relate to me. I want you to, when I talk to you, when you're worried about your job and your money and your health, which is all very natural and normal, I want you to now slow down and go deep and listen to what I have to say to you. And that means prayer, reading the Bible in a beautiful way, reading the Bible prayerfully. Reading the Bible slowly. Reading the Bible carefully. Reading the Bible word by word. Reading the Bible waiting on God. Reading the Bible, finding the truths of the Bible. And finding the Bible to speak to my spirit. Yeah, the cistern will hold water. This cistern holds water. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not this book. This holds the water. This in our mind holds water. This is God in our life. That Christ would be formed in us, Galatians 4, verse 19. That Christ would be in us, Colossians 1, 27 to 29. That Christ may dwell in our hearts, being rooted and grounded. Maybe when Jesus is on the boat and he's saying to the disciples, why aren't you believing? I'd like to change it. And he could say, don't you know that when the storm comes and you're slowly reading the Bible carefully with an attitude of submission and obedience to me, that you will find peace that goes past understanding. You'll find love that goes beyond knowledge. If you can learn at this time in your life, while you're not sitting next to physical people, but while you are carefully in your own way before God, finding who God is in a quiet and personal and deep way. That's what I want to say tonight. That the people around us in the United States and in Europe that are going through difficult times, the Spirit of Christ is saying to us, wait upon me, you will mount up with wings as eagles. Wait upon me and look for the opportunity and how to minister to people that are afraid. You are not afraid. They are afraid. Look to opportunities to minister to people with a lot of respect for what is happening, but to minister to people and look for opportunities to be creative. Look for God to search. Let God search our hearts and say in our hearts, how can I be helpful? How can I care for the people in my neighborhood? How can I care for the people in the world that I'm living in? How can I care for the people in my church? How can I care for the people that are far away? Maybe I can read about missions during this time because I may have more time, and I can use this time and read and have God stir my heart because I'm waiting on him in prayer. And I'm stirred up in it. Missionary newsletters, missionary biographies, parts of the world, a world map. Get a world map and look at it and read about different places and say, God, where do you want to send people on the mission field? And pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would do that. We are living more slowly now in some way, and we can be more careful to what God is saying to us in our hearts. And we have many things to say in the weeks to come by God's grace to help us and encourage us in our watching and waiting on God, our awareness of what is happening and our awareness of what God is doing, and we will be very useful salt and light in a world that has lost God. They never found him. They don't know who he is, and they don't care about him. And God is saying, what? What? I am the living God. And we are saying, show us, show us. The world needs our lives. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? You're listening to this message tonight, would you, and you're not a believer, would you turn to Jesus in your heart? It's an attitude of faith toward God. And say to God in your heart, I need you. I ask you to be my living God. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Save me. Take my sin away. Give me a new life in you. Show me who you are. May the river of the living water come out of my belly, a spiritual life source from a living God, and teach me how to live and walk before you in your name. Amen.